sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my freedom, God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free, and I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back into the show. Second hour of your Defending Fathers. Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Tuesday, June 9th, 2026 edition. Ian Murphy, the owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord, is on the line. Good morning, Ian.
Good morning, Trucker Randy.
Last night, sat with your attorney, Dave Delaney, in the front row at the City of Gaylord's City Council meeting, where they did a second vote on the rezoning of that piece of property, the R1, 18 acres on I-75 frontage. And the public still persisted in showing up, being against the rezoning from R1 to R2 to allow those 42 duplex, 84 housing units to be built, rented out. And basically, this one lady got up and threatened the city council members, reminding them of what happened down in Green Township across the county, where the Chinese Communist Party wanted to build a battery plant in Green Township. And she reminded them that the local people were against it. They came to meetings like they've been coming to City of Gaylord, and basically recalled the elected officials and undid the battery plant and basically got the project stopped. One city council lady, Deb Jacks, switched her vote. She had previously, last meeting, voted for it. Last night, she voted against it. They have this screwy rule about a second vote required when rezoning is done, but also a supermajority. And it passed previously 5-2. Last night, it passed 4-3. But that wasn't a supermajority, and the project failed, and it's not going to happen. Based on those facts, based on what happened at the meeting, what's your response about not getting 84 new housing units in Gaylord?
Well, I think on the face, here's what I'll say. This is the parliamentary process that Gaylord has created, whether you agree with it or not. On its face, it sounds like they did what the citizens of Gaylord wanted. I don't know that I necessarily agree with it. I am a business owner in Gaylord, and we see it all the time. I've said it on the show before. I mean, we just hired three new people that live out of town because they cannot find any housing in Gaylord, affordable or otherwise, whatever you want to call it. This project seems, I don't quite figure it out. You know, the Gaylord City Council goes out and creates a housing task force in order to find projects and developers like Anthony and like Pat Battaglia to try and come in and put these needed developments in. This property has two apartments on either side of it. The other thing is, this 18 acres that abuts I-75, Has anybody looked at it to try and put a single family dwelling on that property in the last 6 years since the housing boom has taken off in Michigan? No. Why is that? Nobody's asking that question. Why are private landowners, property owners, not buying any of that land to take and make single family homes? That's what the citizens of Gaylord want. Clearly, they don't want an apartment. They want it to be single family dwellings. Well, I don't see any developers stepping up to do any of that. So here we now sit with another 18 acres that isn't going to be developed for anything.
And for decades has not been generating almost $500,000 in property taxes, which this project would have projected to bring in $500,000 to the city of Gaylord every single year. I just don't get it. I don't understand it. Hey, we're going to take a short break, hold Ian Murphy through the break, talk about Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord and then all the activities happening at the pavilion. Short break. We'll be right back.
And now this from Northern Michigan RV.
Hi, I'm Tony Kessering from Northern Michigan RV in Gaylord. Get ready for a new adventure with help from Northern Michigan RV. We sell everything from pop-ups and truck campers to luxury fifth wheels, and we have everything to keep you going, including parts, full service, and even propane. And we're open year-round. Don't buy anywhere before stopping into Northern Michigan RV. Off 32 on Expressway Court behind Walgreens in Gaylord. Online at northernmichiganrv.com. Get ready for a new adventure at Northern Michigan RV.
Well, I'm sure by now y'all up here in northern Michigan have heard of Curtis Gunsmithing, the little gun shop over here off Picker Lake Road in Petoskey. Mr. Tom Curtis can fix any gun you put in front of him. The Gun Doctor is a certified gunsmith. You won't find one better in the north, and you sure as heck don't have to travel out of town to go see one. Get your quality gun work done right here in your town. Curtis Gunsmithing of Petoskey. Give Tom a call today at 231-838-5571. Come see the Gun Doctor.
Hi, this is Mitchell Lipton, owner of the W Tax Group. We founded our company with a mission statement, to treat our clients like family and help with your tax problems like they were our own. Call us for a free consultation. Tell us about yourself and your tax problems so we can work together to make your life better for you and your family. Again, for a free consultation, call us at 855-346-1788. That's 855-346-1788.
The Sioux Animal Hospital in Sault Ste. Marie has been in the same location for 35 years. The owner, Dr. Jeff, specializes in providing all aspects of care for your animals. From annual shots to complicated bone and soft tissue surgeries, Dr. Jeff can take care of any animal. So call him today at 906-635-5910. From dogs and cats to cows and horses, Dr. Jeff loves them all. So give him a call at 906-635-5910.
This July 4th, celebrate America's 250th birthday at the biggest party in mid-Michigan at Liberty Mountain USA in Farwell. Featuring Mark Farner's American Band, the Dave Mead Band, and more special guests. Sing along to classic hits, enjoy a spectacular fireworks finale, and camp on-site for the full weekend. Tickets start at just $15. Kids 12 and under are free. Don't miss it. Get your tickets now at libertymountainusa.com and click on events. Come join us and bring your friends.
This is Justin Michael. From day one, our campaign has been about one thing. People, the families, workers, veterans, small business owners, and communities that make Northern Michigan and the Upper Peninsula home. I'm running because too many people in Washington have forgotten who they serve. I've spent my life advocating for others, listening to their stories, and fighting for solutions that put people first. Our district deserves a representative who shows up, cares, and follows through on what they say they're going to do. It's time to start putting Americans first and Michigans first. Paid for by Justin Michael for Congress.
Seems like yesterday, but it was long ago. Jane, it was lovely. She was the queen of my night.
Hey, everybody, welcome back in the show. Staying through the break, Ian Murphy, owner of the Iron Pig Smokehouse over in Gaylord. And I got to tell you, Ian, this proposed road project that their MDOT is going to start construction on, their M32 exit 282, Have you seen the proposed plans for that Cloverleaf and what they're proposing to build there?
Yes, I have. I've been following it pretty closely, actually, just because of the impact to our downtown location where our new restaurant is. We had seen this coming, you know, a few years ago. Obviously, they've been planning it for a while, and my biggest concern is how it's going to impact downtown. So quite frankly, that entire project, which is scheduled to last until 2028, was a motivating factor in us moving to our new location. You know, potentially three summers with limited traffic downtown, you know, is a real concern. So being in our new location off exit 279 certainly helps mitigate that quite a bit.
Sure, absolutely. And one thing I really like, it seems like they're improving Highway Old 27, which is your road frontage now across from Otsego Lake. Is that going to end up being top dressed this summer, do you know? Because I saw they had the pitch down and they had all that work, the prep work done. When do they plan to do the top dress, do you know?
Yeah, they actually did that at the end of last year. Just before the fall, they came through and did a tar and chip, which anybody that lives in northern Michigan knows what a tar and chip is like. Then they came back and painted it. Then it got scraped off over the winter time, so we had such a heavy winter. Then they just came back yesterday, actually, and painted new lines. So I don't expect them to do much of anything else to Old 27 there.
Oh, okay. They're not going to do a complete top dress on it then.
No, there's a couple of roundabouts that they're planning to put in before. So this fall, they're starting a couple of roundabouts, Dickerson and McCoy, and then McCoy and Chris Road, which is kind of over by my house, which will help mitigate that traffic as they push traffic around for these detours and everything.
Got it. Well, one thing that I'm excited about is summer. Even though it's a little gray, cloudy, little nice morning shower this morning, the pavilion, lots of things happening there. And I want you to talk to the folks about what you got planned outdoors there next to the main restaurant, the outdoor pavilion.
Yeah, we actually, this last weekend was a really nice weekend. Friday night was a little bit sketchy. We were supposed to have our free movie nights. We actually postponed the Sandlot, which we were playing 7 o'clock to about 9 o'clock every Friday. We have a free family movie night. We postponed. We're going to do the Sandlot this weekend, I believe, on Friday. Saturday, every single Saturday for about the next 20 weeks, we have a band playing out in the pavilion Saturday night, 6:30 to 9:30. This weekend, we have a band called Kush Robinson. If you've ever heard of Fish or Dave Matthews bands, they're kind of a jam band. So something a little bit different, not the usual classic rock cover band. And then June 18th, Thursday, from about 4 to 7 p.m., we're going to start our farmer's market. So the first ever evening farmer's market, we're going to give that a whack starting next Thursday. So that should be fun. We decided to do an evening farmer's market. We've talked about it before. And then, of course, just any and everything else that we can possibly do under that pavilion. Graduation parties are happening right now. We do wedding ceremonies, wedding receptions, after parties for golfers, all kinds of stuff. We got to fire up that food truck this last weekend and do one of our new items called a barbacone, which is a waffle ice cream cone filled with our mac and cheese, topped with pulled pork or brisket, coleslaw, and our barbecue sauce for about $10. It's amazing.
Sounds great. Well, one of the things I'm excited about, because June 18th, then a week from this Thursday, is the farmer's market. What are you anticipating? Who's going to be participating? What kind of products? What kinds of food products? What is going to be out there at the farmer's market?
We've got a couple of farmers, a couple of growers, so we'll have some vegetables, we'll have some meat products. We're hoping that Kitchen Farms is going to be out there as well, selling. So we use their potatoes in our restaurant. We've got Bragg Farms is coming out. They're going to be selling maple syrup out there as well. Our neighbors, by all means, Microgreens is coming over and setting up a booth as well. Right now, I think we have about 8 or 9 vendors. We're still adding more. As the growing season really starts to kick in here, middle of the month, and harvests are coming around, we expect to be adding a few more vendors as well. So I think right about Right now, we're about 9 vendors altogether. We're hoping for about 15 to start the season here in June. So we're real close to that mark.
And if someone listening knows a farmer or knows some type of grower out there, how would they make application or contact you to become a vendor at the farmer's market?
Yeah, great question. So there is an easy form to fill out. You just go to thelakesidemarket.com, and you can find it there. And also on our website, you can get there as well. Ironpigsmoke.com will lead you there as well.
Very cool. Excellent, excellent. Well, one thing that we're really excited about, I didn't know if you wanted to talk about what was happening with the Liquor Control Commission. I didn't know if you wanted me to bring that issue up yet or not, but you put out a press release about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So last Wednesday at about 3:30, the Liquor Commission basically, they came in and raided both of my restaurants unannounced. They had been in 2 weeks prior, did a routine inspection. The gentleman at that time filled out a form, said, you know, we had no illegal spirits, our signs were posted correctly. I mean, passed with flying colors. Fast forward to this last Wednesday, 5 Liquor Commission investigators, 3 downtown, 2 at our new restaurant, and a Michigan State police officer came into the restaurant, demanded to see invoices, all kinds of things, interrogating my employees. They then found the bourbon that was sitting on the wall, on the shelves, obviously, and began to ask questions about the bourbon. Ultimately, what they ended up doing was seizing every single bottle, and even, Randy, our empty bottles of bourbon, claiming that they were an illegal spirit in Michigan. And I can't get into a whole lot of it because obviously it's ongoing. They gave me a piece of paper that demanded all of this information after their, in my opinion, illegal search and seizure. Now, there's a recent federal court ruling for a Michigan bar and restaurant that basically upholds the licensee's Fourth Amendment, which is, you know, you should have a warrant to do a search and seizure. Currently, the way the Michigan liquor law reads is you basically, the licensee gives up their Fourth Amendment right because liquor is a highly regulated industry. So generally, the basic the basic feeling is that licensees that get these special licenses are under more scrutiny. And in the past, the Liquor Commission has revoked the licensee's Fourth Amendment. Now, I said this back in 2020 when the Liquor Commission came in and emergency revoked that day my liquor license with no due process. I didn't get to go before a judge. I didn't get to do anything. And I said it to them then, you're violating my right to due process. He says, no, you're a licensee holder. You basically don't get a Fourth. I'm paraphrasing. You don't get a Fourth Amendment. This case in federal court ruled that not only should the Liquor Commission be upholding their licensee's Fourth Amendment right, they should be going out of their way to make sure that they are upholding their licensee's Fourth Amendment right because they are a government agency, not in spite of it being a highly regulated industry. So on its face, they came in under the idea, and they said these words routine several times. There was absolutely nothing routine. I've been in this business. I've been had a liquor license for almost 10 years now. I have never seen a coordinated investigation like they did last Wednesday. They gave me 7 days, Randy, 7 days to come up with this list of information, contracts, invoices, shipping documents, all kinds of things. When I asked them questions, do you know how many answers they gave me? Zero. So I'm not entirely sure that I want to give them any information for them to use against me essentially in a court of law. It's an administrative hearing, but it's still a court of law. They can truck me with felonies. They can take my license. They can do all kinds of crazy things. There's so much to this. We don't have time to get into it right now, but Michigan's three-tier liquor commission is failed. They have nearly $1 million of missing liquor inventory that they are responsible for. Somebody else's product that they paid to bring into Michigan or paid to have manufactured, bottled, and labeled that the Michigan Liquor Commission cannot find. Nearly $1 million. Now, Randy, let me ask you, What would happen to me if they came in and found that I had $937,000 worth of liquor unaccounted for? This is a failed agency. Sure. It is now a cartel, which ironically is why we have this three-tier system in Michigan to begin with, is to keep organized crime out of liquor. Well, guess what? It's 2026. There ain't much organized crime going on in Michigan with liquor. So we have some hurdles to get over, but there's sort of – I don't want to say we did this on purpose, but we've been going through the process to try and get our bourbon legally, officially into Michigan. And as it is right now, out-of-state spirits, take for example Trump Vodka, cannot get their product into Michigan right now because the three distributors – and the Liquor Commission refuses to endorse any new distributors. So for years, we've had three that distribute product all over Michigan. Those three distributors are responsible for taking in new product. So when we reached out to those three, what they call ADA, authorized distribution agents, they said, sorry, we're not taking any new product at this time. That was over a year ago. So the system Michigan currently has is restricting trade. They also don't have a program for private label spirits. The Iron Pig Distillery, we don't distill anything. We don't have a manufacturer's license. Bardstown in Kentucky private labels our bourbon for us. So we went in, picked out the bottle, designed the labels, created the blends, all of that with Bardstown's distilling license. Now, when I go to fill out the form to bring Iron Pig Gaylor Gold Bourbon into Michigan, it requires a manufacturer's license number. Well, we don't manufacture anything, Randy, so I can't fill that form out. That's just one of a myriad of problems. Mm-hmm. But on its face, they had no right to come and illegally search and seize my restaurant, according to this federal case. It's called Generis Entertainment LLC versus Donley. They went out and sued the state police officer that came in and wanted records without a warrant and the director of the Liquor Commission. So this is the battle that we're now set up with, is they came in, violated my Fourth Amendment, and are now pushing my Fifth Amendment completely to the side by them asking me to provide them with information to prosecute me. And use against me. Right. That's the Fifth Amendment. You cannot be compelled to give information to use against you. Well, that's essentially what they are doing. So not only do I not get a Fourth Amendment, I also don't get a Fifth Amendment either. So we're going to take those issues up with the Liquor Commission.
Yeah. I got a text message. Penny says, how can I order moonshine online from Gatlinburg, Tennessee, and have it delivered directly to my door? How is this any different than what you're doing?
Yeah, there are some differences. So the moonshine distiller may have the ability to ship their spirits into another state.
Got it.
So the fact that I'm an on-premise license holder, that's what makes me different.
Got it.
And that's a problem. That's part of the problem. Yeah.
Got to go to the Iron Pig Smokehouse in Gaylord and eat and give them the money to defend this insanity against state government. Ian, thank you so much, brother. Stay strong.
Bourbon's so good it's illegal, brother.
Amen. We'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, buddy. This is